We are here at Think 19 in Miami, Florida is where we are. It's sunny Miami. It's getting a little sticky out there already, so it's good we're in here, but it's beautiful outside. I mean, the beach, the ocean, man, it's actually really gorgeous outside. All right, we are here with Brad Bendick.
Yes.
You are Senior Vice President of Strategic Partners.
I am.
And today we're going to be talking about one of the juiciest topics of all time right now is the future of payments. So you're going to be on a panel. You're moderating a panel.
I am.
Future of payments. So give us a quick overview. Who's going to be on the panel, and what are you guys going to be talking about, essentially?
Yeah, we've assembled a really impressive array of payments experts from the likes of FIS, First Data, Early Warning.
Okay.
And future of payments, as you said, is a meaty topic. So we were trying to think, what's the best way to approach this the way we can bite it off in 45 minutes? And so we decided that we wanted to look at it through the lens of the consumer. And how it is that looking through the consumer lens is really, in many ways, the most important element of how to think about payment innovation driving mass adoption. And so some of the topics we're going to hit on are not just around how these companies are thinking about innovating around the consumer and how they design their thinking around the consumer needs and wants, but also just some of the noteworthy innovations that have happened in payments, whether it be Apple Card, whether it be cryptocurrency. We'll spend a little time there. Real-time payments, just to give you a sample of some of the topics that we'll
be addressing. All right. Very cool. Very cool. And so one of your opening remarks is going to be payments innovation is really about putting ourselves in the shoes of the consumer and working from there. It sounds like a kind of a reverse engineering model. Yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, there's many different constituents in the payments value chain that are critical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as I said before, I think the consumer is the most important. In terms of getting mass adoption and mass scale, there has to be a critical mass of consumers that are willing to adopt. And their willingness to adopt is going to be a function of a number of things. Is the payment, more convenient? Is it secure? Is it fast? Is it reliable? Does it deliver rewards? Is there a cost involved?
Yeah.
Are there liability considerations, right? So we kind of call those the immutable laws of payments. Those are the sorts of things that have to be considered when looking at innovating to the end consumer. And not every payment innovation has to be necessarily with the intent to drive mass scale, right? Having niche payment opportunities is still an important area of exploration for payment processors and credit unions alike. But that's really where it gets juicy, is getting into the meat of what is it that's going to drive consumer behavioral change,
and
what it is that you need to do to check enough of those boxes I just alluded to result in enough consumers getting excited about changing their behavior.
Yeah, how does one keep up, though? Because payments, by the time this interview is over, something major will have happened.
So very true.
How does a credit union keep up with this type of stuff? I mean, obviously you guys are there to help out, guide them and stuff like that, but that's a daunting task for especially even a smaller credit union. So any advice there for folks out there?
You know, it's a great question. I think you have to look at the long game too, right? In as much as I agree with you that there's a lot of innovation happening on the edges of payments, at the same time, payment cards in with a magstripe or EMV chip work pretty well,
especially
for point of sale payments.
Right,
and they still generate trillions of dollars of spend every year. So when I look at where there's been a lot of innovation in payments, it's kind of a fine line between what I would call commerce innovation and payment innovation, right? Commerce innovation meaning all the steps that lead up to the consumer making a purchase decision. The often cited example would be something like an Uber, where Uber has completely transformed the way that consumers engage with, ride sharing services. But the payment itself just becomes extremely simple because it's built into the experience, right? It's a card on file. The consumer doesn't have to think about it. But that submission of a card-not-present transaction is not a new concept. It's just a different set of steps leading up to that execution of the payment.
Mm-hmm.
So for companies like credit unions, obviously, in that situation, being top of wallet is going to be the most critical aspect of them being relevant. It's not that they have to be the ones innovating at the front end of the consumer experience and having mobile apps that support ride sharing services. It's more about how do they engage with the consumer to make sure that they have relevance as a top of wallet option.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head though.
End of the transaction, right?
I think you hit it's like not even thinking about it, not even thinking about the payment.
Correct.
And that can be
completely seamless, right?
That can be good and bad. If we're not thinking about the payment. But as a seamless, especially in an Uber situation where you kind of want to get in and out and you don't want to have to deal with a whole bunch of stuff, that's perfect in that aspect. That's the perfect payment, I think, for it. But
it's invisible almost.
Exactly. You don't even think about it until you go back to your app and go, oh, I got to tip the guy or tip the girl and or rate the person, that type of stuff. So it's really cool in that sense. So how is data, speaking of all the payments and stuff out, all the payment models and stuff out there, how is data playing a role in the development of new payment solutions? Because that's got to be pretty huge, I would think.
It's a key element. I may have a slightly contrarian view in the sense that I believe that data is important for helping to shape around the edges how entities like credit unions or processors are executing in payments. I don't know that I necessarily see it as the start of you know where you begin to actually think about moving into a completely different realm within payments. I think it's we've come a long way in terms of being able to watch consumer behavior, track every single activity that they're doing, and assimilate that data in a way that help us to understand more about their behaviors. Mm-hmm. But I think about that more as a way to help get better at how they transact today using existing payment mechanisms as opposed to whether or not they're likely to adopt cryptocurrency as an illustration, right?
Yeah, that's cryptocurrency.
It's a totally different, yeah.
I know.
Totally different.
That's another show, for sure. So, all right, so what are the biggest challenges to people who are building the future of payments? I mean, this is something you probably know all too well.
Yes, very much so. And it ties back into some of my comments before about the fact that consumers, tend not to change their attitudes and behaviors quickly when it comes to payments, especially if things already work. And so I think that the challenge for companies that are thinking about how to influence consumers, it's am I really driving value in a meaningful way that's making their lives easier, more convenient? Is there maybe some cost benefit trade off that they're having to assess? It may not be that you're having to replace the cards that they're typically used to using or the payment mechanisms they're typically used to using, but making sure that those payment credentials stay relevant in the future, kind of like my Uber example before.
Yeah.
And that the credit unions and processors are finding themselves relevant in the spaces where consumers are gravitating and maybe how they're changing their behavior and how they're working with new, digital disruptors to make their lives easier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, making our lives much, much easier. So what's the greatest opportunity out there in this arena? Sounds like sky's the limit
It's a big question, yeah. So, it's funny, I joined I started in the payments industry about 10 years ago, having spent 10 previous years in telecommunications. And when I started, I thought to myself, wow, this is kind of an interesting inflection point where, maybe the way that consumers are going to transact is going to be fundamentally changed because of the smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, here we are 10 years later, and while there's a lot of discussion about mobile payments and proximity payments and so on, it still really hasn't gained a lot of traction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still think that there's a ton of upside on mobile proximity payments and using your smartphone as a way to engage at the point of sale. And obviously consumers are already pretty well accustomed to using their phone for e-commerce payments, and that's grown significantly in the last 5 to 10 years. But proximity payments to me just feels like one of those spaces where there's still so much room left. Because, but let's face it, the smartphone is so deeply integrated into how we live.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that it shouldn't be part of how we transact every day.
I agree.
But consumers have just been a little bit reluctant to make that step.
Yeah, why is that? Because, when Apple Pay first came out, obviously I'm an Apple fanboy, so
yeah,
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great, and I use Apple Pay anywhere I can.
Sure.
So, and it's so much easier than pulling out a card and doing the whole chip reader thing, all that type of stuff.
Sure.
But why hasn't it caught on? I don't understand that. And even Android Pay and Samsung Pay, they're all still kind of, I don't want to say floundering, but it's still, a pretty small percentage out there.
A lot of investments going into those mobile apps and those experiences. I think, initially, I think consumers were scared that their payment credential is going to be inside a device that could get lost and could get compromised. But the reality is that the level of protection that exists on those devices actually in many ways makes it far more secure than your leather wallet.
No doubt.
So I think consumers have to get over that maybe mental hurdle. But it's also just, getting used to the idea of having to present a phone at the point of sale when they're so used to dipping or swiping. Just the behavioral change of, a different activity and maybe some motivation for what's going to cause them to try to do that. So I know in the case of Samsung Pay, which is what I predominantly use, they've tried to introduce some gamification of the experience so that consumers can earn points and rewards the more that they transact.
A little incentive there.
It's a clever way to try to drive more and more interest. But I think at the end of the day, consumers have to see the value in paying that way. And maybe it's ties into things like how they track their spending, if there's ways to link those things better. Mm-hmm. Like when you conduct a transaction with a plastic card, you know, you're probably not going to see that transaction until the next time you go online and look
exactly.
at your
statement. This, you see it right away.
It's instantaneous.
Yeah.
So I think that is definitely an area where there's going to be lots of room for growth.
Yeah.
But you know, when you think about segments within the payment sector that have been ripe for disruption, mm-hmm. but that represent significant volume of spend, I think about things like B2B payments or international remittances. They're not very efficient today.
Mm.
Again, those are topics that have been talked about for years and years and years. And you know, maybe cryptocurrency or distributed ledger is mm-hmm. one of the ways that you can start to, you know, get over the hurdle on those
right.
to make it far more convenient for consumers. But to this point, and businesses too, but to this point, you know, those are humongous, you know, spend segments, billions and mm-hmm. billions and millions of dollars that have largely been untapped from a yeah. payments innovation standpoint.
Yeah.
So
well,
it'll be interesting to watch and see.
Definitely, definitely interesting, and I'm fascinated by it as well. And but it just I think there's tons of opportunity here, as you pointed out. So it seems like we're only scratching the surface here
with
payments. So it's really cool to see. All right, sounds like you have a fun job, Brad, and I'll let you get back at it here. So
thank you.
Appreciate the time.
Yep, my pleasure.
Keep up the good work, all right?
I will.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Brad Bendick, Senior Vice President of Strategic Partners, talking about the future of payments. Check him out.